Westminster Abbey is a notoriously crowded space, increasingly cluttered with tombs, graves, and memorials as the centuries have passed. It's estimated that around 3,300 people are either buried or otherwise commemorated in and around the building. Reminders of mortality are everywhere. In the South Cloister, there is a particularly sombre grave. A large slab of black marble marks the spot where 26 monks lie buried together. They all died in quick succession in the plague of 1348. These might be the kinds of death we would prefer to forget, but they are part of the Abbey's story, a story that holds the living and the dead together as a single family. The 29th of March this year is Passion Sunday, the moment in Lent when our attention is turned from Christ in the wilderness to Christ on his way to the cross, to his passion, his suffering and death. But before that, in John's Gospel, Jesus is confronted with the death of someone whom he loved very dearly. He goes to the grave and he is deeply moved. Having so many graves and memorials in the Abbey might make it a rather sombre place, and sometimes it is. Yet the genius of the 13th century architects, giving it so much height and letting in so much light, means that another greater reality and hope breaks in, the hope of resurrection. Let us pray. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
A reading from St. John's Gospel. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go."
As you've heard, here the dead surround us. This business of burial in Westminster began before the Reformation, when the dead were buried here so that we could pray for them. Media vita, it said in one of the antiphons, the sentences which we use just before Passiontide. Media vita in morte summus. In the midst of life, we are in death. The Benedictine monks of the Abbey knew themselves one community, united in death. Today, we usually keep death at a distance. Worse still, in our current crisis, we are isolated from one another in extremis. Death really does not seem to unite us. We need some help. Our reading related what happened at the tomb of Lazarus. There was a striking moment. Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. What are we to make of that? In Scripture, death is a punishment for Adam and Eve. Stealing the apple, taking something for themselves, they forfeited what they already had in common with God, life and eternity. They took the here and now in preference to the ever after. What the Bible says is that death is the wrong ending to our human story. It's something profoundly unnatural. That's a basic insight. Again and again, I've perched on the edge of a sofa looking for words to say to the bereaved and felt the way that death cheats us of all the things we wanted to do, all the things we should have said to one another. Death deprives us of a proper ending. If you've ever read a long story to a child, you'll know you can put the book down, and when she clamours to know what happens next, you can say, "Wait and see." You can do that, and she can bear it, because we all know that in a proper book, the story will be properly concluded. Our deaths deny us that. That's why Paul tells us that death is the last enemy. And that is why Christ wept. He wept for his friend, but he wept more for a world going wrong. When John Chrysostom wrote about this story of Lazarus, he told us that at the grave of Lazarus, Jesus was close to Gethsemane, weeping as he wept there for the terrible wrong ending. And having wept, Jesus summons Lazarus out. Death is defeated. The mistake is to think that death is the end. The great mistake is to live only in the present moment or only in this crisis. Wherever we are in a community of the living and the dead with a future in eternity. We must not spend our days at tombs looking for the dead. We must look for life. That's what Christ proclaimed at the grave of Lazarus. Unbind him and let him go. It's a command to all of us to think again about death and life, about Easter and a long future. Resurrection is not a myth, it's a way of life.
Henry Purcell was organist of Westminster Abbey in the 17th century. He died rather young. His setting of the first verse of Psalm 102 magnifies the intensity of this heartfelt cry. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my crying come unto thee." It is sung here by the Abbey Choir.
Thank you.
Let us pray for those who cry out today in grief or anxiety. And let us pray that we, even at a distance, may offer comfort and care to those who need it. God of all consolation, your Son Jesus Christ was moved to tears at the grave of Lazarus, his friend. Look with compassion on your children in their fear and loss. Give to troubled hearts the light of hope, and strengthen in us all the gift of faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us pray with confidence in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Christ crucified draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.